The word Cain, the name Cain means acquire or possess or possession. And in view of Genesis 3 and 15, where God said that the seed of woman would crush the head of the serpent, perhaps his parents expected him to be the promised deliverer. They're hoping that would eventually turn to horror as their son would kill his brother. Any harmony that existed, that harmony would turn to hateful hurt on the part of Cain and great harm and damage to the family. It's not a pretty picture that we read together in Genesis, the fourth chapter, as Cain chose to hate and to kill his brother Abel. We're warned about the way of Cain in Genesis 11 to not follow that path, clearly implying that in that particular application of those who were corrupting the will and word of God, and yet and at the same time warning us and teaching us that the way of Cain is a choice. It's a path that we choose to walk, and that we can just as rightly and correctly choose a different path. Cain did not have to make the choices that he made, but by making them, he not only brought great damage and, of course, death to his brother, to his family, great harm and hurt, but to himself, he brought spiritual harm and great jeopardy. We can learn a lot of things from Cain. That's what we hope to do tonight as we study some of the choices that he made. As we make the choices for ourselves, we need to choose and understand as we go through this study that these things are still very relevant for our lives. And hopefully we can make those points as we go through our study this evening. I'd like for us to see, first of all, that Cain chose to offer vain worship to God. It was not enough for Cain merely to bring an offering to God. A crucial mistake that still we can make today, thinking that whatever we bring to God, God will accept. That whatever kind of worship we choose, that somehow or another, that will be pleasing to God. And yet, we see clearly here that in these two brothers, that one was regarded and one was not. That we will learn from other places the reason for that. But first of all, let's just again set before us verses 3, 4, and 5. As it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of the flock, of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. He did not have regard for it. He did not accept it. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now we learn in Hebrews 11, verse 4, that Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. And by implication, we conclude Cain did not. Hebrews 11 and 4, by faith, Abel offered to Cain a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. In another place, the Word of God would say that Cain's works were evil. 1 John 3. God testified of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. So while Abel acted by faith in the offering to God the sacrifice, this worship unto God, Cain did not act in faith. His worship was not pleasing to God. It did not come from a place in his heart of trust and obedience to God, an expression of that faith. And consequently, God was not going to accept it. God did not accept it. And it's important for us to see that simply bringing worship that agrees with our will is not enough to please our God. In Colossians 2 and verses 23, we are warned about will worship, the presumption of the commandments of men, the doctrines of men, a self-imposed sort of service. When it says beginning in 21. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, taste, or handle, which all concern things that perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. I want us to see the point he makes here concerning self-imposed religion. Self-imposed. Presumptuous. Taking it upon ourselves to act religiously, to come before God in a manner that is not by faith. Now, doing something by faith is not saying, well, I believe God, and so whatever I bring to God, He'll accept. That's not by faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We cannot act by faith unless God speaks to us so that we can then put our trust in what He says and obey what He says. Abel sacrificed by faith because God had spoken. God had revealed at some point, at some time, God had revealed His will concerning sacrifice that would please Him. Abel trusted what God said and complied with what God wanted. He yielded himself to the will of God. He acted in faith and made a sacrifice that expressed that faith in obedient service, and God was pleased. You see, when we do not sacrifice by faith, hearing and obeying God's Word, when instead we just come before God and say, "What? However you want to worship God, that's okay." And are indignant to think that somehow or another anything we bring to God would not please Him, then we're standing with Cain. Don't you see that? Cain brought something to God, but it didn't please God, and Cain got indignant. People act that way today when we point out, sometimes, they did to Jesus, when Jesus pointed out in Matthew 15 that what you're doing is offering God your traditions. In vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the commandments of men. And they hated that. And they hated Jesus for that. Remember, he said, the apostle says, "Don't you know that the Pharisees, they didn't like what you had to say, Jesus?" He said, "Don't you know they were offended when they heard that saying?" Well, Jesus said, that's not going to change the truth of the matter. And this is the lesson we need to learn from Cain, is that if we worship God without God's approval, without God's authority overseeing it, and us yielding to it, that worship is vain. That means it's empty. It will not be regarded, just as God did not regard the offering of Cain. In John, the 4th chapter, Jesus said, "Time is coming, and now is when God seeks true worshipers to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." We think about Cain tonight. Let's understand that it was not enough for Cain or Abel to simply say, "I want to worship God." They then needed to act in faith, in spirit, and in truth. One did, one didn't. Cain did not. Cain chose not to bring an offering by faith. Now, I believe we can necessarily conclude that from what is said in that scripture. Otherwise, whatever they brought would have been pleasing. But one was by faith, one was not. Now let me illustrate what we're talking about, since it's Easter. Who gives us the right? We wrote about it in the bulletin. Now think about it with me. Don't get upset like Cain. Think about it with me. Upon whose authority do we have a holy day called Easter? And on that holy day of Easter, we have religious ceremony and religious observance of the resurrection of Jesus. Who gave us that authority? How is it that we can do that based upon what God's Word says and do it by faith? Well, we can't. It's not in the inspired Scripture. You say, "Oh, wait a minute, preacher. Doesn't it tell us about the resurrection of Jesus?" Absolutely. And I believe it. You do too. That's not the point. That's not the question. Did Jesus give us the rights? Did Jesus say, you can worship me by setting apart a special celebratory day called Easter? He didn't. You know, they started talking about the Feast of the Resurrection in about the mid-second century. And they wrangled and fussed and fought among themselves about when they ought to have that for the next 300 years or so, hundreds of years. Finally, they came to a mathematical equation about when to have it relative to the spring equinox and this and that and other. And you see, it's all a tradition of men. It's not in the Scripture. Now, you want to be Cain or you want to be Abel? Don't get upset at me. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. About Christmas. Oh, now you're just getting blasphemous, aren't you? When you start talking about a holy day for the birth of Jesus. But you know, there again, it's developed by the traditions of men. Jesus didn't tell us, have a birthday party for me. He didn't. Who gives us the right to think that we can just decide what we want to offer God and God has to accept it? You know who says that? The devil. The devil says that. He wants us to think that because he wants us to act like Cain. He wants to make us to make the same choice Cain made. It wasn't by faith. And God didn't accept it because the devil doesn't want our worship to be accepted by God. He doesn't want it to be by faith. To listen to what God's Word says and be content with it and submit our hearts and our lives to His will concerning worship. And that's why we don't have instrumental music in worship. Because the Word of God, the New Testament of Jesus Christ says to sing and we're content with that. And we're not going to add to it. We're not going to add our traditions, our will worship. We're not going to presume that we have the right to bring it to God and God will accept it when God was silent about doing it. But He did say, sing. Why not just do what God said? Why not be like Abel and not be like Cain? Yeah, it's relevant. It's relevant. You see, God sees our worship. Just like He saw Cain and just like He saw Abel. He knew what Cain did. He knew what Abel did. And He knows what we do in worship. And He knows what we're doing right now. He knows whether we're worshiping by faith or whether we're worshiping at all. Whether we're just sitting here occupying a pew and our heart's 100 miles away. He knows. The question is, do you? Do I? Do we? Cain, do we want to go the way of Cain? He chose to offer God a worship that was not by faith. And God did not regard it. And learn from that. Let's offer God true worship by faith. But Cain chose to increase his sin. Once God made it clear to him that he did not accept his worship, Cain chose to increase his sin in verses 5 through 8. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, or couches at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Some versions say, I think the American Standard says, Cain told Abel, his brother. When they were in the field, it says, it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Now, let's learn here, first of all, that sin was not forced upon Cain. And it's not forced upon us. We choose sin. Sin is a choice that we make. Sometimes we may walk into it ignorantly. Sometimes we may walk into it deliberately. But it's a choice that we make. And God tells Cain, you have a decision, Cain. No, I don't accept your sacrifice. And now you're angry. Why are you angry? You have a choice. You can do well. or you can let sin devour you. You have a choice. See, in Romans 6th chapter, that's alluded to and then stated. It says in Romans 6 in verse 4 that as we were baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into His death. Pick up the reading in verse 4. You were buried with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We make a choice to put sin to death, and we make a choice to be converted. We make a choice to be baptized into Christ, to put sin to death in our life, and to walk a different way, to live a different way. It's a choice. For if we've been united together with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we will also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now, that terminology of slaves to sin, don't get the idea that what that means is that we just have no control. No, we yield to sin. He'll go on to say, don't let sin rule over you. Verse 12, do not let sin reign or rule in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Sin rules over us when we let it. And God says, don't let it. He tells Cain, don't let it. You decide, Cain. You decide right now. Joe, you decide whether sin is going to rule over you or not. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Don't give your body over to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead. God has raised you to newness of life, Christian. Now give yourself to living for Him. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Don't keep on doing the sinful thing in your life and think it doesn't matter. That's what Cain did. And we see the result of that. Make a choice. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law but under grace. You decide. Cain, you decide. Sin's at the door. Sin wants you. But you see, he didn't have to sin. He could have repented. He could have repented. Now, look what the sins were. I know, let me back up. I know he could have repented because of verse 7. You see, if you do well, will you not be accepted? You weren't accepted, but if you do well, you'll be accepted. If you'll change your heart, Cain, stop getting angry at me, at God, change your heart and act in faith, you'll be accepted. Because that's why your brother was accepted. Because he sacrificed by faith. He could have repented. He could have changed his heart, changed his life. So I know it's a choice. I know God's talking to us about choice here. Now look at the sins. It wasn't just the sin of vain worship. It was also anger. Anger. Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. The idea of the word is incensed. Furious. He lost his temper toward God, toward his brother, toward God. It describes a wrath of fire that was in his soul. He is just outraged that God did not regard him. Now that's sinful. That's sin. Colossians 3 and verse 8 teaches us about anger and wrath. Orge and thumos. He tells us about the outburst that is sinful, the wrath, and the orge, the animosity that simmers and brews within us. Either way, it's sinful. And it's to be put to death, that verse says. You must also put off all these, anger and wrath and malice. Wow, there's Cain, isn't it? Anger and wrath and malice. You see what these do? When we get angry, when we allow anger to infect us, whether we just hold to it and let it just build within us and cause bitterness and malice, or it explodes into wrath and this incensed fury, It prevents kindness. It prevents compassion. It prevents forgiveness. Look at Ephesians 4. You see how these are and of course it prevents us acting by faith. It prevents faith when we let anger and wrath into our heart and into our lives. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. You see, where there is the one, there cannot be the other. Where there is the wrath and anger, there cannot be the kindness and tenderheartedness, the forgiveness like God in Christ has forgiven us. Cain chose anger. People get angry when God won't accept what they or won't accept them on their terms sometimes. They get angry. They get angry at you. They get angry at God. They get angry at themselves. They let the anger consume them. And by doing so, lose their souls. Don't go the way of Cain. You see, the sin of anger was the way of Cain. But there's something he chose. It wasn't forced upon him. It wasn't God's fault that he got angry. It was a choice he made. Envy was also involved in this, I believe we can see as well. Because, you see, envy is the displeasure that we have when we see the success of someone else. And as God respects Abel's offering, it says that he respected Abel and his offering. Verse 4. God had regard for him. He blessed him. He received him. But he did not receive Cain. Cain is angry, but embedded within that anger is envy. Isn't that very often the case? Companion of anger is envy. Bitterness. Seeing somebody else succeed or bless or have good fortune and we're not. So we get upset. We think it's our right. So we have class warfare. No. I tell you what, our country is going the way of sin, going the way of the devil. And when we start thinking about the 1% and the 99%, I'm telling you what, it's just class warfare and envy. There's nothing but sin. Nothing but sin. I don't care if it's America or Africa or anywhere else. That kind of ungodliness ought not infect the heart. It ought not be in the heart of the people of God. Protect yourself. Don't let it happen. Don't become envious. Look at Titus 3:3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Oh, we know Cain hated his brother. That's going to be the next list of sins here. But see, the companion of envy and malice. See, it's a work of the flesh. Cain was controlled by the flesh, not by faith. And so hate was in his heart when he saw his brother benefit. And he was rejected by God. God didn't have respect unto what he brought to God. In 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that we've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. Cain was of the devil and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You cannot hate someone and go to heaven. You cannot hate your brother or sister in Christ and live with God forever. He says that kind of hate is what we saw in Cain. He was of the wicked one and he murdered his brother. He took the life that God had blessed another with and he extinguished it. Murder is a crime not only against the individual, but against God Himself who gives life. Isn't it interesting that, you know, that the name Cain means breath? I'm sorry, Abel means breath. Abel means breath, and Cain took that breath away. God gave the breath, and Cain took it away. He murders his brother. That came from his heart. Mark 7, verses 20 through 23, Jesus said, "All evil proceeds from within and defiles the man. What comes out of the man," He says, "that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart, men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries and fornications, murders, thefts and covetousness, wickedness and deceit, lewdness and evil eye, blasphemy, pride and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." You see, He talked about murders there. Taking of life from a heart of hatred, from a heart of envy, from a heart of anger, from a heart of faithlessness, rather than living by faith. Cain chose to increase his sin rather than, when it was shown to him, repent of it, change his heart, and by faith serve God. We can learn from that because we make that choice in our lives. We choose, we decide whether we'll go the way of Cain and increase our sin in prideful arrogance and envy and hate and malice, or we will yield in humble repentance before God. Let's look at another choice Cain made. Cain chose to lie to God in verse 9. Incredibly, he chooses to lie to the Almighty. The Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" What arrogant gall. What unmitigated blasphemy. And yet, if we're not careful, we go the same way as Cain. Men try to deceive each other and God, and try to fight against God. God sees everything about you and me. Everything. He knows everything about you and me. There is not a single thing you can lie about that God does not know the lie. You know, it's an incredible thing. To develop a life built upon deceit and lying, that you could imagine that you could stand face to face with God. God is speaking to you, and you say, and He says, "Where's your brother?" And you say, "I don't know. I just killed him, God. His body's dead out there in the field. I don't know where he is." I have to probably rationalize that too. You know, I could give you a rationalization for my lie. "Well, I don't know. I mean, he's not here anymore. If he's here, he'd be moving about, but he's not moving. I really don't know where he is, God. You tell me." Isn't that the way we deal with things sometimes? We rationalize our lie. We convince ourselves of it. We try to deceive God. Well, Hebrews 4, you know what that really means is, we just don't have any fear for God. We just don't fear God when we think that way. Hebrews 4 and verse 13 says, "There is no creature hidden from His sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." It's not just that God sees us. It is that we will stand before God and we will give account to God. One day He will ask me and He will ask you about us, about ourselves, about the things we've done and how we've treated others. And it will not be enough for us to say, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? That's his problem. Am I my brother's keeper? That's a lesson in itself, isn't it? Yeah, we are our brother's keeper. Cain had a responsibility toward his brother, and he did not live it. He, in fact, sinned grievously against his brother. Think about this with me, though. Don't we lie to God when we claim to love Him but do not love our brethren? Go back there to 1 John 4 and in verse 20. Look at it. 1 John 4 and 20 says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" Are we choosing to lie to God? Lie to God by hating a brother or sister in Christ, holding animosity, bitterness, malice in our heart toward them, and yet say, "I love God." If we're doing that, we're lying to God. We're deceiving ourselves. We're going to lose our souls. In our sin, we're going to lose our souls. Brethren, we lie to God when we claim to give as God has prospered us, but then we don't. See how that works? When we claim to be His people and yet we live worldly, ungodly lives, we lie. We lie to God. We deceive ourselves. We lie to God when we say, "I'll do better," but we keep on sinning. When we say, "I'll repent," but I don't repent. I keep on saying, I'm lying to God. We're going the way of Cain. When we sing godly sentiments, but we live ungodly lives, we are lying to God. Come to church on Sunday and go to the bar on Monday. We are lying to God. We're going the way of Cain. Does that need to make it any clearer? Do we not get the point? That we can think that we can live in the world, like the world, share in the world, in the sin of the world, and somehow or another say, "I love God." No, you don't. No, you don't. Don't deceive yourself. And Job, don't deceive yourself. We can't do that. We can't go the way of Cain. Lie to God. Lie to ourselves. It just will not work. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. "Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He who sows to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. And he that sows to the Spirit reap everlasting life." We cannot sow to the flesh. We cannot hate and murder. We cannot sin and reap heaven. That's just plain. That's just simple. We learn it from Cain. We learn it from Cain. And if we need to learn it again, just go to Revelation 21 and verse 8. Liars do not escape the wrath of God. If our lives are a lie, if we're living a lie, understand we're not going to escape the wrath of God. We need to repent. We need to learn from Cain. The cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sexually immoral and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God doesn't want us to go there. God sent His Son to die on a cross so we don't have to go there. So we can be saved from going there. But we will if we choose to lie against God. To lie and live that deception. We're not going to escape God's wrath. Cain didn't. Look what else. Cain chose to leave the presence of God, didn't he? Chapter 4, and in verse 16 it says, "Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." He chose to multiply sin instead of repenting. Sin is ready to pounce. And it's ready to lunge upon us. I want you to see the figure. Sin lies at the door, verse 7. "And its desire is for you, and you should rule over it." It's ready to lunge. It's ready to capture us, to control us, and to devour us. Protect yourself. Be watchful. Be sober. Our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom would stand steadfast in your faith. See? But he chose to keep on sinning. And so God brought him under punishment. God knew what happened. He didn't ask Cain because he didn't know where Abel was. God knew what happens. He said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you're cursed from the earth that has opened up its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." You're going to be cursed. You till the ground, but it's not going to yield for you any longer. It's going to be cursed. No longer will you succeed as a farmer. You are going to be banished to a life of wandering, Cain. Sin brings hardship now, and it brings eternal death. Is that what you want for your life? Really, is that what you want? Hardship now and eternal death when you leave this world? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth and unrighteousness. God is as clear as He can be to us. He is so clear He does not want us to miss the point. The wages of sin is death. If we choose to leave the presence of God in our lives, understand that God says, when Jesus comes back, He's going to render vengeance upon those who do not know God and about those who do not obey the and upon those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the presence of God and the glory of His might. God has been very clear. But I want you to go back to Cain and see with me about Cain. You see, Cain, there's no indication that Cain had any sorrow for his sin. And that's part of the tragedy of the story. His only sorrow is the weight of the punishment for his iniquity. Cain says to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you've driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and I shall be hidden from your face. You're not going to be with me, God. I'm going to be a fugitive, God. I'm going to be a vagabond. Somebody's going to see me and they're going to kill me." No sorrow for his sin. No sorrow for his sin. I want you to do something else though here. Even with that, yet God shows mercy. Even yet, God is willing to extend mercy. He puts a mark on Cain so that if someone finds him, he would not kill him. God is long-suffering to us, Peter said. He's long-suffering toward us, the verse says. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It may be that in your life you have chosen to leave God. God is saying right now to you, come back. Come back now. I will be merciful to you now. Don't delay. My long suffering, He says, is your opportunity. Use it. Choose it. Rather than to choose to go east of Eden, away from the presence of God, of His blessings, of His favor. And yet He went on out. Look what it did. Look what it does. Sin severs fellowship with God. Cain removes himself from God's presence. His sin, in his sin, he leaves. Sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59:2. God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. Our iniquities separate between us and our God, just as it did Israel in Isaiah 59:1-2. We can return. We don't have to keep walking the life and the path that we're walking. If we're walking the sinful life, we don't have to keep doing that. You can repent. You can obey Jesus. You can come to salvation and God will forgive you. He will. And the heavens will rejoice. He'll forgive you. But in Cain, we see the hardening effect of sin that cannot be denied. If we choose to leave the presence of God, we are choosing to remove ourselves from mercy, from opportunity, from influence, from truth, from righteousness, from love. And that hardens our hearts. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6 reminds us of that. That if we've tasted the good gift of God, the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Spirit, taste of the good Word of God and the power of the age to come, and then they fall away. He says it becomes impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put into an open shame. And we choose sin. We choose to live in sin, having once been freed from that sin, and we go back to that. We put ourselves in a hardening influence, in a hardening context. And that's why it's important. That's why it's so vital. As Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember therefore your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come, the days of calamity come, and the days draw nigh that you say, I have no pleasure in them. You see, we think we can choose sin when we're young. And at any moment, we can just flip a switch and turn back to God. Kind of like getting out of the pool. We can just grab a towel and walk out. Dry ourselves off. Well, forgiveness is available. But I tell you what, we can get so sucked in by sin and so hardened that what used to affect us no longer reaches us. What once touched our conscience no longer has any effect. When we go away from the presence of God, when we make that choice, understand what we're doing. Yes, the prodigal went away from the Father. He came to Himself. God be thanked. But you see, we also put ourselves in a position where we can harden our hearts. Don't choose that. Don't do that. Cain chose to leave the presence of God. We must not allow sin to destroy our fellowship with God. We must not choose it. It is lying at the door. It is couching. It is ready to leap upon you and me. Protect yourself by faith. Submit your heart and life to God. Take nothing for granted. Live for God every day. Learn from Cain. You see, Cain was faithless. He did not know God. He didn't know God. He thought he could worship God his way and be accepted. And he got angry when God didn't accept him. He thought he could murder his brother without responsibility and accountability. I don't know where he is. I'm not my brother's keeper. He thought he could lie to God and get away with it. Cain acquired, possessed, as his name implies, his destiny because he chose it. He chose to sin against God. He chose to sin against his brother. And in his choices of sin, he would lose his soul forever. The question for you and for me is, what outcome are we choosing for our life? What are you choosing for your life? To go away from the presence of God or to live in His acceptance by coming to Him with faith, listening carefully to His Word and living that, yielding to it and obeying it. If you're not a Christian, right now you are not living by faith. And you know it. You understand that. But it doesn't have to continue that way. Because God in His mercy has sent a Savior, the seed of woman, to crush the serpent's head, to destroy the works of the devil. And tonight, you can decide to put your faith in the Christ, the Son of the living God, and confess that faith that He is the Christ. And tonight, you can repent. You can change your heart about your sin against God. And tonight, you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of your past sins. God will forgive you. He will release those sins. He will remember them no more. You will be raised to newness of life, purified in heart and life, to then walk with God instead of leaving His presence. Won't you become a Christian? It's all worth it. There is nothing that the world can offer you, nothing that the world can offer you that is worth your soul. If you're a Christian, and there's sin in your life, come back to God now. See that it's all vain and futile. We may deceive people around us for a time. We may deceive ourselves, but we will never deceive God. And in our lives, we will lose our souls. Let us be genuine. Let us be true in heart and true in faith. Let us repent of every sin. Let us walk with God now and forevermore. Let us respond to His call. All together we stand and we sing.
When Jesus comes to reward His love,